Good morning, people of God. Welcome this morning as we do come together and celebrate in this time of worship. By the way, how are you? That's awesome. It's awesome. Let's begin today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. Blessed are they. I invite you to stand as you're able as we join in our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Let's come before God seeking forgiveness and life. I invite you to take a moment for your own self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins, heal our hurts, bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, and sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing, a healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's share that peace with one another. Pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading today is from Exodus 20. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who rejected me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. The psalm is from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells the tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their song is sung out into all lands, and their message to the end of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the edge of the air. Nothing is hidden from its clear reading.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The steps of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More than we desire and are able to hold.
More than we
sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened. And in keeping them, there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 1. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things, get out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the kids to come up here.
Morning.
My, Josie, you are really flashy today.
I'm looking forward to summer. I really am, a lot. It is warm weather day down in the Sunday school wing today, and we get to do lots of fun stuff down there. That's right. That's right. We'll do a bubble parade, and we'll wear sunglasses and Hawaiian lays. I know. I think she bumped her head. Well, good morning. Good morning. I know you're Zoe. Good morning. So, we were just talking about that. It's warm weather day. It's a day for us to kind of celebrate and think about what's coming. Maybe winter just feels like it's been taking forever. Yeah. And we know that summer is coming, and it's going to come pretty soon. Hopefully. Doesn't really look like it today or possibly tomorrow, but it's coming soon, right? Well, it kind of fit really well with a story that we heard today, the first lesson. It was about a group of people that were stuck in a foreign land. They were stuck in a place where they didn't really want to be. Okay? And we're going to talk more about it in Sunday school, so don't worry. I'll fill you in. But they were stuck in a place where they didn't really want to be. And they prayed to God and they said, "Please help us." And so God sent who? Do you remember? Moses. He sent Moses. And Moses came to help them get out of that place. Right? And he did. He led them out. He led them and they walked and they rode on, probably not horses, but they rode on carts and things.
Yeah,
and they got out.
Horse.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had a flying horse, too.
I want that's mine.
It's a good name. That's a good name. So Moses, he led those people out. And once they were out for a while, all they could think about was what was coming next. They knew they had left behind all of those icky things. And so kind of like where we sit right now. We're looking forward to summer. We want all the really nice weather. And we kind of want to forget all of that icky, wintry weather.
Spring and summer.
Yeah, we want spring and summer. And it's out there and we want to get there. But can we completely forget how we got there? Well, the people, they kind of forgot. They forgot that God helped them. They forgot who led them out. They forgot all of those things. And so God came back to them and said, "Hey, what the heck are you doing? You are my people, and I've helped you, but you have to live a certain way. You have to be nice to other people. Because if you're nice to other people, that means you're showing that you love me." And so he gave them what we call the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments, what are they? What is a commandment? He did. Ian is filling in the story, and he said Moses went up on the hill, and he came back down with those commandments. What's another name for commandments? Come on, Isa, help me out here. They're just rules, right? They're ways for us to live, right? Yeah, that's all they are. And there's some like, do not steal. We won't go through all of them right now, but do not steal. Is that showing kindness to other people? That's right. Don't kill. That's showing kindness.
If you go on the end of a road, a car will hit people.
Yes. And that's not kind either, is it?
No.
No, that's not. And that's what God wants us to do. By showing kindness to everybody else, we are showing kindness to God. And so he gave us those rules to live by. And we'll talk more about that in Sunday school today. How about that? All right, let's go head back to our seats until then.
Thanks, Josie. Would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this day for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This year's theme at Walking Together, which is coming up in a few weeks, on the 17th of this month, the theme for the whole day is the church has left the building. And it's based on an Elvis Presley type of theme. The story goes is that Elvis, when he at the end of concerts, they would keep him trying to keep him coming out to do encores and things like that until finally this voice comes over the speakers that says, "Elvis has left the building." That was the cue for the fans to, it was done, time to go home, time to leave. And the reason why we're using that theme for Walking Together this year is that some of our churches, I hope that not our church, has forgotten that Jesus is not contained in a building. Jesus is not contained in a building. Jesus has left the building. We are the baptized children of God, followers of Jesus. And so as we leave the building, we take Jesus goes with us. So we need to go where we are sent, out into the world. Jesus has left the building and he needs the church to follow him. Our worship services, our studies, our discussion groups, and so on and so forth, ministries are wonderful, but they only have an impact as they impact not just our lives, as they impact the greater world around us. Jesus doesn't say, stay in an empty building. You know, you're here today. By the way, I'm here more than that. But I know preachers, some guys get, you know, an hour a week. That's pretty good. So, we're here for a short time. Jesus is not left in this empty building during the week. Jesus goes with us into the week. So we are a sent church, you see. into the world. There's a sign I used to have on my door. I haven't found it yet. It's in one of my boxes yet. But it says this: the church we will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. Let me say that again. We will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. And that's so true because, and you know it, you may not think about it, but I want you to know that none of you are here unless someone told you about Jesus. Did you know that? I want you to think for a moment and turn to the, oh, by the way, I think I forgot to tell you, I may ask you to talk to each other in church. I may even ask you to talk back to me in church. Okay. Well, I want you to turn to those around you, preferably not just your own family, but someone who's gathered around you, and just tell them, you know, who were people that told you about Jesus in your life? Do it. Don't just sit there. Do it. You too. We'll talk to them. Get here. Well, my gosh, you're not having a trouble at all talking with each other. So, just out of curiosity, who are some people that come to mind for you?
Sure.
What? Parents? Parents? Okay. What? Sunday school teachers?
Grandparents?
Pastor? Once in a while. What's that? I'm getting two voices here at the same time. College professors.
Godmother.
You know, there's all these different people. You realize that then as we live our lives, we are able to tell others about Jesus. Yeah, go ahead.
Friends.
Yeah. We don't get here on our own. We need each other. We need the church to leave the building. To be the church in the world. All right. Now I have a little harder question for you to think about. How have you seen God this past week active in the world? How have you seen God active? Okay, talk. What do I feel like? Am I Chopped or something like that? How have you seen God active? In what ways? Boy, the talk is not quite as lively as that first one. So okay. What are some ways that you've
over a cribbage board?
Jake, say some more about that.
It's a story.
Okay. What are some others? How have you seen God active in the world?
During your visits.
During my visits. You've had to. Do a lot of those there, Jerry.
No.
Other ways. Yeah.
Healing.
What?
Healing.
Okay. Very good. It's a harder question because sometimes I think we forget that we need to be observant. We need to be thinking about how God is active in our world. we need to intentionally look for God. Sometimes I say it's we need to take, you know, I wear glasses. Actually, I wear bifocals. I probably need trifocals. But I like to think of it as the lens in which we look. Do we see the world through, I'll just say, the God lens? How God sees the world. How God sees each one of us. How do we see the world? Perhaps if we put on those, start thinking about it and thinking about it in those ways, we'll begin to see the activity of God more dramatically and effectively. Our gospel text today is the text of a temple. The temple was where God was. That's why people came there. That's why people came there to do their sacrifices and different types of things, because that's where God resided. Jesus changes that. He says, we'll tear this place down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He's talking about his own death and resurrection there. But he's also talking that God is not confined to a building. God does not live just in a temple. God does not just live in this sanctuary, this church. God lives in each one of us to go out into the world. Jesus is the incarnation, the made flesh of that. But we also know that Jesus goes with us. You see, life is not meant to be lived in the temple or on top of a mountain. Sooner or later, we all have to open up the door and go. To come down or to go outside. But we know that secure in the knowledge of God's presence in our lives and walking in a relationship with God, that we enter life. Our words and our actions then become expressions of faith. Because we have been showered with God's love, we can shower others with God's love. Because we understand the blessings of God, we can be a blessing to others. That's part of the Old Testament covenant, blessed to be a blessing. We're freed from those things that bind us, that we then become freed to live for our neighbor, for others. When we are aware of God's presence in our lives and nurturing a relationship with God, we are not only able to live our lives for God and others, but we are also able to walk in thankfulness and gratitude and praise. And in doing so, we also then walk together. So the church will leave the building to be the church. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we gather together to hear, we pray for the church, the world, and all who... Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray for your world this day. There seems to be so much confusion and fear that seems to drive so many things. And we pray that we do not let fear drive us. Fear, hold us. Hold us with your love and your grace so that we may be your people in your world, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for your creation. We give you thanks for what you have put together. Those things which are a gift. Help us to view all things as gift and care for them, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and loving God, we pray this day for those who grieve. And we pray for Betty Ann's family. Be with them and comfort them in this time of loss, but also help us all to know the hope and promise we have in you, Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we give you thanks for being with us in our need. We pray for relationships this day. Where they are broken, we pray for healing. Whether it be between husband and wife, or parents and children, friends and neighbors, we pray that your Spirit would move to bind those places, to restore relationships. Be with those who struggle with addiction or struggle with sickness of any kind. Today we lift up Maxine and Derek and Kathy and Lexan, Gordy and Carolyn, Maxine, Ray, Arnie, Lorraine, Sean and Levon, Otto, Libby, Sam, our companion synod in Malawi, Abusa, the pastor, and all who serve in our military and their families, and all who reside in care facilities, all those who are lonely. Lord, in your mercy, we lift up before you today those leaders of the world. We pray that you grant them wisdom and a just eye so that all people may be viewed and cared for justly. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for the witnesses that have told us about you in the past. Those people who have shared your love with us. And we look forward to the time as we share in that time with them once again. But in the meantime, help us to be that light in your world. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We'll receive the morning offering at this time. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should, and at all times and in all places, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May be seated. God gives us food to the hungry. Come, be fed, and be healed. The table has been set for you. Thank you.
strengthen you and keep you in his grace and in his peace.
I'd like you to please stand as you're able. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Now, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. So a few announcements this morning. During the sermon, I talked about walking together. That is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. My rope is falling. My cincture is falling down. How embarrassing for a pastor. That's what they call this thing, a cincture. Cincture. It looks like a rope, but it's a cincture. Anyway, walking together is a wonderful opportunity for us to become equipped to do ministry, both within our congregations and out in the world. There's like over 35 workshops that are going to be that day. There's going to have some great speakers, worship opportunities that day. There is a sign-up sheet in the back on the table to please sign up if you'd like to go, and we'll work at getting carpools and things like that. It's a wonderful day. Anybody else? Jerry, you want to say anything more about that? I covered it. It's a wonderful day. Also, Josie, you want to say something about the books? Yeah, you want to?
Everything you purchase through the fair is a reduced price and free shipping to you, in general. And new this year, or this time at least, is that it becomes a fundraiser for the church. So we're going to keep, it's 20%. So you're still getting your savings amount, but then a 20% of that stays at the church. And we're going to keep that for the youth this time, and next time we'll see how it works.
Sounds good. Sounds good. You may have seen a bin with some of these things in them. These are called socks. And this project is called Soul Socks. Dunn County residents, this is what's good for the bulletin, are in need. Why? Well, many Dunn County residents are struggling with a number of life expenses, including health insurance, housing, food, and even a pair of socks to keep you warm. So how can you help? Purchase a pair more of new socks and place them in the area back there, labeled Soul Socks, and to deliver them within this next week. And they'll be picked up and delivered to the appropriate agencies in Dunn County. A local respected doctor shared, this is Amy talking, by the way. She's sitting right back there, by the way. So these are her words. A local respected doctor shared with me, Amy, a touching story of recently treating a person with frostbite of their extremities due to the frigid weather in Wisconsin. I think many of us know that these human hardships exist in our community, but are mostly blind to the reality. Most of us can't even imagine not having food, shelter, or even a pair of socks to keep us warm. Let's give our people some new socks, not only to warm their feet, but also to warm their souls. And Amy is right back there, and you can talk with her after church today. Are you going to be available, Amy?
Yes.
You'll be available. Very good. We continue our Lenten services, our weekly Lenten night services, our Holy Village evening prayer, and we're listening to faith stories of different people within the congregation. And this week, Josie and Jeremy will be sharing of their faith during the service. So please, it's really a very interesting and wonderful thing. Yes, Dan, did I not turn this on?
Just a reminder.
What?
Just a reminder that the social media web workshop resumes Saturday.
It resumes this Saturday.
For any of you who have started late or have questions and have started on your project already, I'll be around in fellowship hour to answer any questions you have. And I'll probably get more sleep before next Saturday morning than I did last night.
Okay. Dan just moved, so he's busy trying to find out where everything is. On Wednesday night after the service, the choir is working to get some music ready for Holy Week. And so if you'd like to sing in choir, please come. I'm directing it right through Easter here right now. So please come and sing. Okay?
You don't do half that either.
I don't do half
that. The upper half.
The upper half, okay. Okay, very good. So, Wednesday night following worship, we'll have choir practice. And we kind of started last week, but we'll keep on going here for the next few weeks. Are there any other announcements which need to be lifted up? If not, you know what time it is? Go in peace. Serve the Lord. You jokers, I guess.